Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
So let me add my good morning to everybody else's good morning and welcome. To this beautiful day, to this beautiful present moment, the only one we really, really have. So is that not beautiful? And what a blessing it is. I'm Mary, my pronouns are she, her, and I'm one of the prayer practitioners here today serving you. And if you would like prayer after service, please ask me, ask Leo, ask Beverly. We are happy to serve you in that way. And you can also choose to reach out to, for prayer in a variety of ways, including putting a written request in the prayer vessel. And there is a blank form back there if you want to just fill it out and pop it in, and we will do prayer during the week for you. So, and I would be remiss in not saying, please join us for our wonderful Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. morning spiritual practice prayer. Woo! Please. And we would love to see you there, although really we may not see you because you don't have to turn your camera on. So just come, join us, and join in the fun. But now I would like to just take this moment and offer the opening prayer. So I invite you to join me in just taking a deep centering breath, breathing in and breathing out. Join me in knowing that there is only one presence, one power, one infinite, all-encompassing field of love and light. Call it what you may, spirit, God, quantum field, knowing it is all one. And grounding into this precious present moment, I invite myself and you to delightfully connect with this field, with the truth of our being, the truth of our oneness, of our wholeness, our freedom, and allow the divine unfolding of this moment, this day, this service, this life. And knowing there are infinite ways to experience freedom, whether that be physically, emotionally, spiritually, whateverly, let freedom ring, grateful for sweet recognition and sweet release. I open to truly hearing and receiving Reverend Abigail's message and embracing every part of who I am. I open to the music and the way it makes my heart vibrate and my body want to dance and move and be, to be free, to be me, to be my unique manifestation of spirit. Opening to gentleness and peace, to joy, to being wrapped in love's gentle embrace. Trusting, open, blessed. I know this for you as I know it for myself, and so it is.
And I'm so grateful. I do want to acknowledge Beverly, who's here, and for the first 5 months of my time from October through February, I was living at Beverly's house, and I was able to connect with you. And then from March till this last weekend, I've been living at Susan Jancic's house, who's still on vacation but coming back very soon. And I have to say that you would not have me so present and joyful if it weren't for those two individuals. So thank you so much. Yeah. I have more to say about our great community, but first, I want to talk about our country for just a minute, because we had a big event yesterday, our 250th celebration. That's huge and amazing, and there's a spectrum of different feelings and emotions that go with that celebration. What I've noticed that there seems to be a cultural backdrop that has a lot of chaos to it. There's a lot of appearance of division, and you know, the gas prices went up really high, they're coming down, the grocery bills are getting more expensive, somebody became a trillionaire for the first time in world's history, and there's people who haven't had food to eat, and there's, so it's just, it's like a vast experience of what's going on. And I know that sometimes when I'm scrolling through social media, there becomes a heavy atmosphere of the differences. Or on some feeds, it's like the system knows what I'm looking for, and so I go into a hole that's just my world, but then I look out in the rest of the world, and I'm like, wait, that's so different than this little hole that I'm in. And I think that there's often a narrative that talks about our world or this country, our communities, saying that we are deeply divided. There's a narrative that feeds this idea that we're deficient or that we are incomplete, and that we should be afraid of each other. There's a whole narrative out there around that, and it basically is saying that our freedom and our peace is based solely on external conditions. And that's what the narrative is. And we can only relax when my political party's in office, or we can only relax when the inflation cools, or we can only relax when the stock market is doing great. It's like that all of that out there is affecting everything in here. And I can get caught up in that. I don't know about you, but I can get caught up in that. And I was thinking of this theme, the monthly theme, which is being whole no matter what. Being whole no matter what. And I want to talk about claiming an entirely different type of independence, where we are here to remember that the radical idea, the subversive idea that we are whole no matter what. That the sovereignty of my soul is unshaken by what's happening in the outside world. That my freedom is not determined by somebody else. And that's the radical ideas we're presenting here today. And oftentimes, there's like this idea that wholeness is a destination. After you've been through therapy, or after you've worked through all your issues, or after you've perfected all your bad behaviors, reduced all your bad behaviors. We perfect them all the time sometimes, but after you've healed your childhood trauma, then you can be whole. Like it's a place that you're getting to. I'm getting to my wholeness. But the idea is that wholeness is inherent in who you are. So I have a couple of illustrations for you just to kind of help anchor you in this truth. I don't know if you've ever heard of a holographic photograph, if you've ever had a holographic sticker or anything like that. You look at the hologram, it looks 3D and everything, and you can cut it up into pieces, and each little piece will contain the whole hologram. It's really cool. Really, really cool. And that's the idea, that everything that looks fragmented contains the entirety of the self, of the infinite self, of the source, of the spirit, of the universe, that everything that looks like a piece, that looks fragmented, is actually not. It's whole and complete within itself. And it actually could never be separate. Another illustration of this truth is in cellular biology. In cellular biology, they realize that DNA, there's DNA in every single cell. And our DNA makeup in every single cell is the same, regardless of the cell. So some cells are, you know, skin cells or liver cells or heart cells. Or, you know, each cell has a different expression. But contained in every single one is that divine blueprint of the whole body. And in each of us is the divine blueprint of the infinite body of spirit. And while we may be different cells expressing in different ways, we're still part of the same body. The right hand and the left hand are part of the same expression. And so for me, that's a reminder to not get caught up in this idea that there, the narrative that says there's division, the narrative that says we're all separate, the narrative that says we need to be afraid of each other, and instead remember the truth that we're all part of the wholeness and we're all expressing at different levels or different ways of that infinite spirit. And one way isn't right or wrong, but in order for me to have peace and experience a sense of freedom is to remember that, is to remember that we're not in a divided world, but that we're in a world of wholeness that is expressing in various ways. There's a truth in a story from the Gospel of Thomas. The Gospel of Thomas is part of the ancient Gnostic texts. They were discovered in Egypt long after, you know, the books of the Bible. There's like the Bible spans 1,000 years of different sacred texts that got compiled, and some texts got in there, some texts didn't get in there, and then way later on, the Gnostic texts were discovered in Egypt. And there's one of the Gospels called the Gospel of Thomas, which talks about part of Jesus' life. And in that text, Jesus speaks directly to the internal reality of our wholeness, that we're here and contained within us is everything we need to be the fullness of who we are. And he said, that which you bring forth, if you, here it is, I can say this text, that if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. But if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. Yeah. And so it's like everything contained within us is the wholeness of who we are. And if we tune in to the truth of our being and can bring it forth and be a contribution to the entire wholeness, then it saves us. And if I stay in that sense of separation and lack and limitation, and I restrict the truth of my being, then it can destroy me. So it gives us an opportunity to look at our human condition, and instead of judging all of that, recognize the beauty of our internal truth of who we truly are. And also in the Gospel of Thomas, there's a story of a Gnostic allegory. It's called the Hymn of the Pearl. And this story is about a prince. And the prince is invited to, his family, he's a royal family, and they had this pearl that was priceless. It was like the pearl that was so beautiful. It was perfect. And it got taken away, and it got thrown down a well, in this muddy well. And so it was the prince who was going to go retrieve the pearl for his family. And he goes to the city where the well is located, and the city people are really friendly, really wonderful, and they feed him, and they give him this this mystery drink. And the mystery drink it contains something that makes him forget who he is. So he forgets who he is, and he thinks he's a servant. And so for years, he is he's on the streets, he's being a servant, he's doing what people tell him to do, he's just, he thinks he's nobody, he thinks he's nothing. And he does that for years and years. And the family's like, where? What happened to him? They find out what happens to him. And they send an eagle to remind him of who he truly is. And so the eagle flies into his room. And it speaks directly to him. And it awakens him to his royal heritage. And in that, he realizes his purpose, that he's supposed to go get this pearl out of the mud in the well. He goes, he retrieves the pearl, rinses it off, and it contains all of the beauty and the pricelessness that it always was meant to have. And he goes home to his family. So this story is like our story. Each and every one of us are made of royal blood. Everybody. Every human is made of this royal blood, and we forget who we are, and we treat ourselves terribly, and we think we don't deserve things, and we make up all these stories that are untrue about us. But the end is about waking up to who we truly are, and that when the prince wakes up to who he truly is, it's like his royalty wasn't diminished. He just went through this experience in the interim that was a journey that got him to remember who he truly was and find the priceless value of what he was meant to do. And so that's our story. It doesn't mean that the mud is bad. It doesn't mean that the forgetting is something that we need to shun or get mad at. It's just part of our story. And the other part of our story is to awaken to the truth of who we are. So I just wonder what parts of your history, or your personality, or your story have you thrown out as dark or unworthy? And what could you recognize that was part of the wholeness of your experience? And by getting to that place of remembering who you are doesn't mean that you toss out all those pieces of yourself, because that's part of you and that's part of the wholeness of what you bring to the situation. You know, Carl Jung and Joe Dispenza are two people I really love. And the idea is to recognize that there's a part of this human experience where we're operating off in the survival brain, the reptile brain. And the reptile brain is like kind of the reactive, fear-based place. It was created for a purpose, to keep us safe. And oftentimes, we don't need it to be responding in our life, but it does so because it's trying to keep us safe. So does it mean it's wrong or bad or shameful that our reptile brain is trying to keep us safe? No. It just means that we've got aspects of ourselves. They're like bodyguards, and they signed up to protect us, but the drama is already gone. Like we don't need to work from the survival world. But it's interesting, because in the world of division, or a world where things bring fear into our life, it activates that survival brain and those bodyguards that are trying to keep us safe. But it doesn't mean that they're wrong or bad. It just means that there's parts of ourself that are trying to protect us. And so to connect with the source of our beingness is our call. To not come from that survival brain, but to acknowledge it, is really important. You know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's a neuroscientist, and his research demonstrates that when we live in chronic stress and we process life through our hormones of survival, that we view life from a lens of separation, from a lens of hostility, and from a lens of lack. And so again, that's not wrong or bad. It just means that that's what our bodies have been programmed to do. And so if I can shift from seeing everything as a threat and recognize it's just part of my body that's trying to protect me, that I can reconnect to my true source, which is about the idea that everything is a part of the beauty and the wholeness that is. So instead of seeing what's going on out there as divisive, I could just see it as a part of the multiplicity of spirit unfolding. That, and that I can choose to react from a centered place when I remember who I am, or I can choose to react from that reactive place. So it's an opportunity to welcome what is unfolded and be curious about it and honor it, but not be controlled by it. Ernest Holmes basically said that if you fight your fear, you feed it, but if you welcome it with curiosity, you can transform it. So I want to invite you to think about and tune in to those ideas. The third idea I wanted to talk about, so the first one is that multiplicity is not fragmentation. It's simply the differences of the whole, like the facets of a diamond, right? And the second thing is to move our second opportunity is to move from the survival brain into the universal source of creativity, the consciousness of connection, the consciousness of love, the consciousness of peace, and to continue to shift ourselves out of those patterns that are the fear or the lack and into the centeredness of the knowingness and the groundedness. Because we can also shape the narrative from that place, or we can shape it from the reactive place. So the third thing I wanted to talk about is that freedom is an inside job. And I have a book of the month. I'm very excited about it. It's called How to Be Free, written by Shaka Shankor. And I've listened to a podcast that he was being interviewed on. It's a brand new book. I haven't read it. I have it. I'll be talking about it more this month because I'm going to read it along with you. But he says that true freedom is an inside job, and it requires us to escape our hidden prisons through radical responsibility. And how does he have an opportunity to speak about this? He was 19 years old, and he murdered somebody, and he went to prison for, I think they gave him like 40 years or something like that. And while he was in prison, they actually sent him to the solitary confinement for 7 years. And it was torture. It was literal torture for him. But in the middle of that, he recognized a huge awakening, a huge realization. And he says that the most paralyzing, torturous prisons on earth are not made of concrete and iron. The most dangerous prisons are our own internal hidden ones that we build ourselves, created out of past trauma, created out of shame, created out of grief, created out of unexamined anger and self-doubt. And so he was able to create a path of freedom while in prison because he stopped playing the victim role. He did live in an oppressive environment, and he took absolute radical accountability for his own choices and his own responses to the outside world. And he realized that even when our outside circumstances are deeply unfair, are abusive, they're out of our control, we still have the power to choose our internal response. And that is the ultimate human liberation. And so I think about him, and I think about Viktor Frankl, that people have been in the most extreme, torturous, terrible circumstances. And I heard in Shaka's podcast describing some of the circumstances, and it was horrendous. I mean, it was really, really terrible. And he found freedom. So if he can find freedom in there, I bet we can find freedom right here. Can we connect to the source of our freedom? Can we create a sense of liberation despite what's appearing on the outside world? And I do believe that we can. Carl Jung says, if you can make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life. If you make the unconscious conscious, it will be free. That's what it was. If you make the unconscious conscious, it will make you free. But if you keep it hidden, it will direct your life. That's what he said. And so the idea is to recognize what is stirring in you and let it go and release it. Not judge it, but just let it be. So for instance, I have a little homework experiment for you to do, which is if you want to. Nothing's a requirement here, but some people like the homework. So I'm going to give it to you every day this week, just for 10 minutes. If you just wrote down any fears, any anxieties, any worries, any concerns, and you just release them, and then you bless them, and you say, thank you, brain, for trying to keep me safe. And then you just ask the question, what else is possible? It's like instead of shunning yourself or getting mad at yourself for the way that our physiology was made up, just release it, let it be, and then be curious about what else is possible. So it's a really simple journaling practice. And what I recognize is that we can come to that place of conscious freedom. So knowing that there are parts of ourselves that are not saboteurs working against our happiness. They are merely frightened bodyguards that took up a post years ago and never got the memo that the danger has passed and we are okay. So for this week, I want you to remember the first thing, which is multiplicity is not separation or fragmentation. Multiplicity is just facets of the wholeness of who we are. And the second thing is to remember to acknowledge your survival brain, but instead of letting it rule you, reconnect with that united field of consciousness that is the truth of your being. And the third thing is to remember that true freedom is an inside job, and that liberation and freedom is already contained within us. Just like that divine blueprint, we already have it. We just get to tune into it and let it unfold in our lives. So I recognize and know that this is our opportunity. When we talk about freedom and 250 years, that we can take freedom to the next level, that we can be the place where freedom shows up. And whenever I take that on as a radical responsibility, I can create ripples of freedom that just touch everybody around me. And that's what I love being a part of. So thank you for joining me. And I'm going to pray, but before I pray, I want to do a little bit of acknowledgement. I have been incredibly supported by this community. There's a meal train going on right now because we still have a pod of stuff that's packed up and not coming until next Thursday. I had people come and Gina and I got all of our stuff moved to Susan Jancic's house, and John Mitchell and his son and son-in-law and Susie and his one of their friends came and helped move it in all that stuff into the garage. And then this last weekend, I had a crew of people. I had Rana and Dan and Diane and Brenda and Richard all came on Friday and helped us move things, the first load of things from that garage into the house. And then this Friday is going to be another opportunity. So if you want to help, you have a little bit of strength within you. We do have the professional movers to move some of the big heavy furniture, but all the other boxes and bins and stuff, I will say yes to receiving your support. Rana is coordinating all of that. And I have to say, receiving this amount of support is like unprecedentedly beautiful. I cannot express in words, and I hope for the next many, many years, I can show you how grateful I am. Because it means the world to me on how generous you've been. And now I'm getting food because our kitchen is still half packed in the pod. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much for showing me what community looks like at a level I've never seen it in my life before. I really appreciate it. And now I'll pray. And I do start with gratitude for the people in this community who make it that, who make a community filled with love and connection, the people who've beautified the path and have gardened and tended our area, the people who make the coffee and do the sound, the people who are here in the music, and the people who are in the community care team out visiting people in the hospitals or doing meal trains. And there's so much to this community. So many people invested in the city of Bellingham and the unhoused and people who need food. Everybody in this community is something special. And I'm so grateful for the wholeness that is revealed through us, that there is a call, an internal call of participating in the co-creation of a world that works for all. And I know that it is beautifully illustrated and continues to be illustrated in deep and profound ways from this moment on. I'm so grateful to be a part of it, to be reminded of the rootedness, the groundedness, of the sweetness and the beauty and the love that is present here. I know and claim that is magnified and multiplied, and that I am here to be a place of freedom, of peace, of liberation, of joy, of connection. And that as I do this and remember it in myself, that just like a hologram, all of the pieces reflect that truth within themselves, because we are truly part of that one beautiful expression of the divine. So I remember that every time I see division, every time I think that there's fear, that there is hatred, I recenter into the love that I am. I recenter into the peace that I am. I recenter into the freedom that is my inherent birthright, knowing that as I am this today, I continue to create and reveal that to the world. I'm so grateful to know that this is done better than I can imagine, because the infinite universe is just saying yes to itself as it says yes to me and says yes to each and every person here. Yes, that's what freedom is. That's what love is. That's what connection is. That's what liberation is, where truly we uplift and love each other in a deeper, more profound way. And so in that, I'm so grateful. I release this prayer. So grateful for this community, for this country, and for this world, and for this life right here and right now. And so it is.